Mishnah Gimel. We're now done with the Peturim of Kriya Shema. I'll say just outside here. Everyone knows that women are exempt from mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama, positive bound mitzvahs that are time bound. Now everyone makes a big stink, thinking women are left out of so much. The truth is, there are a grand total of eight mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama, not more than that, only eight. The Rambam says it's Hakdama there and the mitzvahs. And ironically, five out of eight women do anyways, with the bracha most of the time for Ashkenazi. So it's what are they? We're gonna play a game here. The eight mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama, the positive time bound mitzvahs are
Shema.
Good.
Arminim.
Good. Lula. Very good.
Shofar.
Tefillin, which is actually two, Shel Yad and Shel Rosh.
Tzitzis.
Sukkah.
Sfira.
Very good. Sfira Omer. That's it. There are only eight. And of those eight, five of them, Sfira Omer, Kriyishma, Lulav, Sukkah, and Shofar, they do anyways with the bracha, right? They don't, women aren't known to put on tzitzis today, and the Shiyad and Shel Rosh, that they don't put on. There are three mitzvahs, the whole thing's a big thing. The truth is, in all fairness, there are six more mitzvahs, Doraisa, that women don't do for reasons other than, you know, they're time bound, for whatever reasons.
A lot of women wear talises also.
Okay, there you go. There you go. So, yeah, that's it. So women are exempt from Kriya Shema for that reason. Avadim, when we talk Avadim again, usually we're talking about an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave who's like a quasi-Jew, like we explained yesterday. Their status, again, is they're obligated basically the same as women. So if a woman is obligated, they're obligated, and the ones the women are exempt from, those mitzvahs, also an Eved is pater from. And a katan, of course, a child, halachically, a katan is, there's two, from Midoraisa, there are two criteria to define someone as being a major or a minor in Jewish law. For a boy, it'll be 13 years old in one day, bar mitzvah, of course. And also they have to bring signs, physical signs of not just chronological age, but also biological maturity, which means bringing two pubic hairs. So that's what a boy needs, both of those, to be chayav midoraisa. And a girl, the same story, but she's going to be 12 years old in one day. And one day just means if she's born on the 5th of Tammuz, it means the next 5th of Tammuz, right? Because the 4th. So Nashim, now inside the Mishnah here, Nashim, Avadim, and Katanim, they're all Peturim, Mikriya Shema, like we explained. Umina Tfilin, also Tfilin. The big Chiddush here is going to be with the children. Right? Well, I'll go say in a second. Right? So they're exempt from those two mitzvahs. V'chayavim, however, B'tfila, U'mezuzah, V'erchas HaMazon. Each thing by itself now. Kriya Shema, we explain why the women and the slaves are exempt. Children, it's interesting. You get a tremendous yesod, I think, out of the Rav here in terms of educational philosophy. You look at the Rav inside, he says, why is it katan? He says, we have a principle, I should speak out, that a child, from the time they have the age of understanding enough to know what they're doing, to be educated in hergel, to know, to be accustomed, so they reach the age of kotchinuch. And at that point, you have to teach them to do the actions, even though they're not obligated midoraisa. You have to train them. So you know, your child sleeps in the sukkah, whatever it'll be, when he's old enough to do it. So obviously, Kriya Shema, a child. I mean, my 2-year-old says Kriya Shema mitzvah already. I'm like, all right, so what's the big deal, right? And yet they're pater. An amazing reason why. I look at the Rav. This is mine, frankly, but I think I'm right, anyways. The Rav says, "Tanim, afil katan shegila chinuch, even a child that's reached the age of chinuch, lo yitilu al aviv lechancho b'kriya shma. It's the burden, the obligation to teach a child to say kriya shma isn't on the father yet. Why? Lefi she'enu matzui tamad etzlo ba'onas kriya shma, because the father just isn't always tamid. Isn't always around when it's kriya shma time. Yeah, he's out in shul and the minyan. He's missed, not around early enough morning for the kid to do it." Which is an amazing insight. What's the insight? So let him teach him when he's around. The answer is that's not chinuch. The whole point of chinuch is hergel, teaching a child, and it's consistency. If you can't be consistent, you're better off not starting. That's Joel Padwood speaking, but I think it's pashut here otherwise. So that's an amazing. You can't half teach a child. And the obligation for chinuch on your children is squarely on your shoulders only. You're the daddy. You're obligated. Not the wife. Your wife's off the hook. Your burden. Hopefully, they see a neighbor. She'll be no sibol and chavera. She'll help you out. But the burden is yours to teach your child only. And tefillin, it's really a corollary, I think, another tremendous educational insight. Why are they exempt? Because mishum stam katan ena yodeh lishmor tefillin shelo yafiach b'hem. There's a law that it's not allowed to let out gas, flatulence, when you're wearing a tefillin. And we don't think children can do it. Children aren't in enough control of their bodies that they shouldn't do it on accident. Tells you two things. First of all, accidents, if you're going to have accidents already made, it's not worth doing in the first place. If you see that elsewhere, it might be a sort of pushing off, you know, shofar on Rosh Hashanah and so on. We're afraid that things go wrong. But more than that, you see that if it's about trading, this is again Joel Padua speaking, but I think it's also Pashit. We don't say, well, let him try, what's the big deal, it's just a child. We don't say that. We say if the child can't do physical action right, better off he doesn't do it at all, or he's trained wrong. Otherwise, so what? It's a child. Like, the tefillin don't really mind, so to speak. It's pogay and they're covered, they're just tefillin. The child makes an accident. We say no. If a child can't do whatever it is for enough, then we say we don't try to do it at all. You see that by Yom Kippur, for example. We don't make them fast, you know, if they could. Let them not wear shoes, because everyone can not wear shoes, etc. Okay? Yeah, and now, the chayavin, they're all obligated, women and others, the tefillah, to pray. He said, the pasha is a mitzvah, right? So according to Rambam, to do tefillah, Shmon Esrei, the actual Shmon Esrei itself is the Rabbanan, but either way, even if it's a doraisa, it's not time-bound. You have to pray every day, so that's not time-bound, and women have to do it. Uv mezuzah, because you might have thought it's connected to tefillin for scriptural reasons. Uv vivichas amazon, and also in benching. Benching is a mitzvah doraisa, and it's not time-bound. You only have to bench when you eat. So women have to bench, and avadim. There is a big question if women are obligated to bench midoraisa midorabanan, because the pasuk says v'chalta v'savata v'rachta, you'll eat and be satisfied and you'll bench. But then it also says ha'aretz hatova shenatan lach, on the good land that you were given. And women weren't given a portion of the land, right? They come, you know, they piggyback on with their husbands. So the question is, and bench of course includes both of those among other things. So since women don't have a chilek, it's a question to the end. If women are mechayven, benching midoraisa midorabanan, the nafkamin, I guess, would be if they're going to be motzi their husband, if they can be. Okay. Either way, they're chayav for sure midorabanan to bench.